to follow Jesus. That's not a one-time event in her life. I still process things in my mind and my soul. When he called the disciples, Jesus said, "Follow me." It's interesting to me that we often overlook that. It was to one person, Nicodemus, he said, "You must be born again." That's a reality. We are all dead in our trespasses and sin, according to Ephesians. But by his mercy, we've been born again. Not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible seed. But the challenge is, on a regular basis, a daily basis, to follow him. Judas walked with him for 3 years. But he made a decision at one point not to follow. Jesus, in the high priestly prayer in John 17, he says, "Father, of those that you have given me, I have lost none except the son of perdition." I want to follow Jesus on a regular basis, daily basis. And yet there are times that we're tempted, and there's times that we're pressured, and then there's times that we're just not thoughtful. And it's easy. And like the song said, though I wander, I will follow. We're looking at habits that bring us into a position to receive the fullness of what God wants to give us. We started the new year with looking at Luke chapter 4, where Jesus turns in the book of Isaiah and he reads a portion of the scroll of Isaiah, and he puts a period where in Isaiah there is no period. He says, "This is the year of the Lord's favor." And there are some things in our Christian life and our Christian walk that are automatic, because you come into a born-again experience through the Word and the resurrected Spirit of Christ and the Holy Spirit, bringing us into a place of blessing and favor with God. But now, as sons and daughters of God, do I walk in that favor? Do I walk in a position where the Lord can bless me? In John 15, it says, "If you abide in me and my word abides in you, you can ask what you will and it will be done." Do I always abide? So we looked at last week, in the initial message, we looked at we introduced seven habits, and last week we looked at the habit of meditation. And it begins with just getting into the habit, the discipline of reading the Word of God. And it's easy to allow ourselves to get pushed out of that. You know, it's easy to come up with excuses. I am currently in, later today I'll be starting Luke 16. I read 14 and 15 this morning. And I need to get to the end of the book of Acts, then I can go back to my other Bible, because I use different Bibles than I do my readings. I've read through the scripture once this year. I'm working on the second. But I'm months behind. I should have been done at the end of the year. And I'm using COVID-19 as an excuse when it hit. How many find that staying to a schedule sometimes is difficult? And it's easy just to allow excuses to come in. And I just make the determination that I'm going to complete. So I won't be on schedule, but I'm going to complete. And that means I need to be a little more diligent in 2021. But getting into the Word of God, becoming familiar with it, And as you become more familiar, then what happens is you begin to establish portions of Scripture that maybe you don't memorize, but you know where they are. You know, I can't quote all of Isaiah 6, but I know where it is and I know what it says. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. And that takes me back to Exodus 33, where Moses said, I want to see your glory. God says, if you did, you'd die. But Isaiah saw a measure of that glory. You know, just get into the habit of reading. And as you read, pause. When something strikes you, pause and think on it. That's all that meditation is. It's to mull over. And I gave you some guidelines there. This week, I want us to look at the issue of focus. And we're going to read some scripture first, and then we're going to make some devotional observations. Out of Proverbs chapter 4, if I remember right, it was in first year college, Brother Pritchard requested that we memorize this portion of Proverbs 4, beginning of verse 20. My son, be attentive to my words. That takes me back to reading. Just develop the habit of reading the Word of God. And as you're reading, pay attention to what God says to you. Not so much about eschatology or ecclesiology, but what He's saying to you. I had my wife, I kind of hinted to her 4, 5, 7, 8, 20 times. My highlighter is now this big. I got one more. It's a lead highlighter. You know. So next time you're in Regina, if you happen to go buy a paper umbrella, and I don't get any commission, that was just a free ad for them, could you pick up one for me? You know, because this one's not this big. You know, I got one that's about that big. I haven't moved myself yet to throw it out. Can't even sharpen it anymore. Won't get in the sharpener. But she picked up some for me. And she brought me a green one, too. The others are all yellow, but this one's green. And I tried it this morning in my old school field at my reading. I use green as something that God's saying to me to do. He that heareth these words of mine and doeth them. There's some things I need to do. Be attentive. What's God saying to you? In fact, Wayne will verify. In my Bible here, you'll notice verse 20 of chapter 4. I've underlined it in green. It's telling me to, you know, do it. It's easy to read the Word of God and just read it. And not pay attention. You know? How often do we do that saying the Lord's Prayer? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy. You know, we can, it's what, 68 words. You can breeze through it in under 2 minutes and not pay attention to any of it. But be attentive. My son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and healing to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Now, where is that? John 7, is that? Out of your innermost beings will flow rivers of living water. Just keep reading. And things begin to connect. It's not just a random verse. Put away from you crooked speech and put devious talk far from you. Let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet. Thy word, O Lord, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalm 119, 105. Things are connected. Then all your ways will be sure. I want to be in that place of favor and blessing. This is the year of the Lord's favor. But if I'm out doing my own thing, God will not favor that. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil. What I'm focusing on is important. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Look neither to the right nor to the left. It's always a challenge when you're teaching young people to drive. to watch the road. You know, don't worry about what's running through the field. And if you're worried about it, pull over and stop. Now go to Philippians chapter 3. This portion is always, ever since I came across it, really been a challenge to my soul. Philippians chapter 3. I like Paul. Because every time you see Paul saying, finally, you know he's going to go on for another 20 minutes. Finally, verse 1, chapter 3. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you is no trouble to me and is safe for you. Look out for the dogs. Look out for the evildoers. Look out for those who mutilate the flesh. We are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. Though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also, if anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church. As to righteousness under the law, blameless. But whatever gain I had, I count it loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. He's not talking about salvation. And be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings. That's not a verse we claim. Becoming like him in his death. That by any means possible, I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Does that mean he has to work for... Listen, what he's talking about is in this life right now. That I might know him right now in the fullness of his majesty and his power. This is the year of the Lord's favor. And that I might attain unto resurrection right now. What he's saying is, I want to walk in resurrected life. I don't want to walk in the oldness of the flesh. This goes back to Romans 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or don't you know that as many of us that were baptized in Christ were baptized in his death and were raised into newness of life? We have within us the resurrected Christ. We have the Holy Spirit in us and with us, who desires to come upon us with freshness and anointing and empowerment, that we would move in the power of the resurrected Christ now. I don't need that power in heaven. When I see him, I'll be like him. But I need it now. That's Paul's cry. That's his prayer. He says, not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, I have decided to follow Jesus. The world behind me, the cross before me. Though none go with me, still I will follow. And straining, it's not a casual walk. Being a committed Christian is a demanding decision. Jesus says in Luke 14 or 15, was one of the readings this morning, you need to take up your cross and follow me. What is your cross? What is the cross? It's an instrument of death. Am I dying to myself? I don't know if you got a chance to read Oswald Chambers this week, Helen, but he says, have you had your white funeral yet? Have you died to yourself? Not always. It's a challenge. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind me and straining forward to lies ahead, I press on towards the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many of whom I have often told you and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly. It's always embarrassing when you're overweight to read that portion. And they glory in their shame with minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven. And from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. What an incredibly powerful portion of Scripture. Let's pray before we go to the devotional. Father God, we ask that you would just take, if not the whole chapter, take key verses that you apply to us individually. What God may say to me won't be the same as what he might say to Lynn or to Sean or to Tim, or to Darcy. You have a unique word, based on this word, that you want to quicken to each one of us. And may our spirit be sensitive and open to the prompting of the Lord. May we be attentive to what you want to say. I just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, major point number one is godly focus is tuned by meditation. Reading, getting into the Word of God, seeing what God wants to lead you to and to direct you to. Psalm 1, verse, blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night, and he will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth its fruit in its season, his leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. God wants to give me a vision. He wants to give me a purpose in my life. He wants to lead me day by day He wants to give that kind of direction. And when I was thinking about this earlier in the week, I thought of my binoculars. I carry a little set of binoculars, and I go out to see my grandsons and my little granddaughter in Kelowna. We always go for hikes. And there's usually something we see. And the one day we went for the hike, and I forgot my binoculars behind. I was asleep. And I said, "Is that a bald eagle up over there?" And we're looking, and we're getting closer. And Malachi says, "You know, Papa," I said, "I don't think that's a bald eagle. I think that's an osprey." We got closer, and he was right. The advantage of the binoculars is it brings that which is far close. It has two focusing buttons. The center one controls the magnification, that you can go and you can increase it or decrease it. But, you know, our eyes don't match. One eye is more powerful than the other. So you have a second focusing button, and it'll be on one of the eye scopes. What you do is, in this case, that one, the diopler, is on the right side. So you cover the left, and you look through the right, and you tune that so that your right eye is clear. Because when you look at both, the eye that sees the clearest is going to bring it in first. So, you know, now I need to adjust that. Meditation. Meditating on the Word of God helps me to put the focus on the right thing. If you're going to drive the car, watch the road. Have you ever noticed that when you're driving the car, if you look to the right, you're looking at something in the field, the first thing you know, you're hitting the rumble strip? Because we tend to go where we're looking. You know, that's why you're not supposed to be using your texting on your cell phone when you're driving. You know, if you're looking at the screen, you're not looking at the semi in front of you, which is going the wrong way on a divided highway. And as I meditate on the Word of God, and it brings my focus into evenness. Because sometimes I can be looking at the world. I will not show you my phone. I showed Lynn last night. I said, "You know, do you ever clear out your YouTube library? Do you? Every time you look something up on YouTube, it goes into your library." And I was trying to find some music the other day to send to Tim. I had to scan through Volvo P18, and I had more YouTube things of cars. And I've told Sam, I said, I enjoy watching rally highlights because there's always wild accidents. You know, there's always some nut that's leaning out onto the road, you know, and he's waving at the guy, and the guy loses a little bit of control and nearly gets hit, you know. And dozens of them. It's easy to have one eye on God and then the other eye over there. Hello? Is that just me? Thank you, brother. I saw that hand. Yeah. Meditation helps us to keep our vision tuned. Godly focus is determined by our willful obedience to God's word. And we read Proverbs 4:20. And that should be 27, not 21. My mistake there. Guard your heart with all diligence. Where your treasure is, there your heart is also. When I'm guarding my heart, it tends to reveal what I'm treasuring most. Godly focus requires that I be selective. You know, there's some things I shouldn't be looking at. Psalm 101:3 says, "I will not set before my eyes anything that is worthless. I hate the work of those who follow." Notice, I hate the work, not the person. I hate the work of those who fall away and it shall not cling to me. Their work, not the person. Hello? First John 2:16 says, "For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, the pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world." John, what are you looking at? Yeah. Matthew 18:9. If your eye, I preached on this years ago when we were in Lindsay, Ontario. I preached on this. I upset a few people. Nothing new. If your eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It's better for you to enter life with one eye than two eyes be thrown into the hell of fire. Make a decision that you're going to follow Jesus daily. There's stuff that isn't worth looking at. Hello? Really isn't. You know? And pornography is not the only thing out there that can be a snare. There's all kinds of things that can be a snare. Watch what you're looking at. Major point number two. Godly focus is a heart issue. Guard your heart. Keep your heart with all diligence, for from it are the springs of life. Proverbs 4:23. Really got to watch my heart. Heart is the seat of the emotions and desires. Yeah. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart. Guard your heart. I have decided. I stand. I stand in awe of you. Yeah. Then we go to Philippians chapter 3. The example of Paul, the idea of keeping focus. Don't trust everything you hear. Look out for dogs. Look out for the evildoers. Look out for those who mutilate the flesh. There's an abundance of scripture that talks about in the last days there's going to be false teachings that come out. You know, early in the church, Galatians 1:6-9 and 3:1-6, he says, "How is it you've been so quickly bewitched?" Boy, that's a powerful word. It means more than just a decision of the mind, that there's a seducing spirit that's involved, that's drawing you away from the simplicity of the gospel, and that you've accepted a different gospel, and he says it's not a different gospel. It's a lie. Timothy, 2 Timothy 4:3-4, we're warned. Paul warns his young protege, Timothy. I don't know how Timothy was when he was appointed the lead pastor, teaching elder in Ephesus. But history tells us that there's strong suggestion that Ephesus at the time that Timothy was there numbered as many as 50,000 believers. No wonder he says to him, he says, "Listen, take a little wine for your stomach's sake." I mean, the guy was, you know, they didn't have Pepto-Bismol. I mean, there's, you know, you can't work with a bunch of people and not have some stresses. You know? There'll always be people that disagree with you and quick to tell you. You know? This was a huge task. And listen, he couldn't do it alone. There was a multiplicity of elders there. I know of a church that in this last year has had an internal split. Keeping people functioning on the same page, moving together, seeking that one goal. Oh, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. We can get distracted by so many things out there. But what's my one goal? This one thing I do, Paul says, I press on towards the goal, the prize, that I might know him and enter into the fullness of the power of his resurrection. Not talking about being translated and brought in the presence of God, but walking in newness of life today. And I can let so many things distract me and draw me away. Keeping that focus. I remember when my father was teaching me to shoot a rifle. Boy, things have changed. I think I was 12 years old. My dad gave me a .22 Cooey for Christmas. Bolt action, single shot. You know? Couldn't do that today. Yeah? So he's taking me out, and he said, okay, I want you to aim at the, you know. So I got one eye closed, and he said, no. You keep both eyes open. Because you want to see stuff coming in from the sides. You want your focus there, but you want to make sure that there's nothing, that you're not endangering anything else. You know? And then I immediately started thinking about, you know, and I've used this illustration before. A Canadian sniper is one of the guys who set one of the records for the longest shot over a mile. I'd have trouble hitting that doorknob from here, with you know, let alone a mile away. But, you know, a good sniper is not alone. Right? He's got a spotter with him. Who's the spotter in your life that helps you keep focus? When I started the mentoring with Ray Dirksen, there was about 25 in our group, and there's been an attrition. We're down to about 14 right now. And we're just starting into the level 4 notes that were just posted the other day, and I need to download because I have a homework assignment for Wednesday morning. But that group and Ray are part of my spotters. The rest of my spotters are here. The elders and the deacons here. And certain friendships here help keep me on track. Someone sent me a text earlier in the week, and they thought it was neat that I have a strong, godly wife who helps keep me on track. Who are your spotters in your life that are helping you keep focused? Don't trust your pedigree. John, don't trust that you have a Pentecostal background. So-and-so, don't trust you got a Baptist background. I started with me. Don't trust your pedigree. He says, you know, you want to boast? He says, I got something to boast about. The tribe of Israel, of the nation of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin. Now think about that one for a minute. His mother died giving birth to him. Mama wanted to call him Benoni, son of my sorrow, because she died. You know? Dad says, no, Benjamin, going to be the son of my rejoicing. Benjamin, the smallest tribe in Israel. And, you know, and if she had aborted him, Benjamin, we wouldn't have had Paul. We wouldn't have had half of our New Testament as we know it today. Oh, I'm sure God would have raised somebody else up, and there would be. But listen, folks, God's got a design on you. You're unique. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. You know? Don't trust your pedigree, whether you think it's good or whether you think it's wanting. Don't trust it. Set your eyes on Jesus. One thing. I'm going to look to him. Do not focus on your credentials, good or wanting. No? As to the law, I was a Pharisee. As to zeal, I was a persecutor of the church. No? Paul had a willingness to follow. Philippians 3, 8. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may attain Christ. Is that my vision, John? Is that my goal, that I would attain more of Christ? Remember that old hymn, Ruth? More about Jesus would I know, more of his saving grace to others show. Is that my passion? Is that my desire? For his sake, I've suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may attain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. I don't want that part. Hello? I'm just being honest. Who wants to stand up and claim, I want the sufferings of Jesus? No, I don't see anybody jumping up on that one. But to be like him. Paul's focus, verses 12 to 16. Not that I have already obtained this, or that I'm already perfect, but I press on to make it my own. Because Christ Jesus has made me his own. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians 2 and 20. God loves you. God gave himself for you. You responded. But it's got to be more than a one-time event. It's got to be an ongoing thing. Every time we struggle, every time we're tempted, every time something catches our eye, am I willing to follow Jesus or do I veer off? Guard your heart with all vigilance or diligence, according to the old King James. Verse 13, brothers, I do not consider that I've made it my own, but one thing I do. Kind of reminds me of Psalm 24. One thing if I desire to the Lord. And that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his tabernacle. Brothers, I do not consider that I've made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal it to you. Am I setting Christ as my vision and my focus? Verse 16, only let us hold true to what we have attained. Bought by the blood, secured by the Lamb, we will be brought into his presence. Paul's counsel in verses 17 to 21. Brothers, join in imitating me. And keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. I thank God for this fellowship. There are so many powerful, godly people here that are worth imitating. Join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many of whom I have often told you and now tell you, even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly, and their glory and their shame, with minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven. And from it we wait the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things unto himself. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Romans 1:16. For it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. Amen? Set your focus. It's not an easy task. It's a demanding task. I love that little prayer of Moses in Exodus 33:18. Please show me your glory. When I sent the message outline out, I sent it to a number of people that have requested it, and one responded and said, you know, Josh and I won't tell you who sent it, but Josh and I have a song that we can use for the end. And they sent me a picture of the hymnal with the song. They said, you can read some of it. Some of it's a little blurry, but we're willing to sing it. I said, go for it. Go for it. And if you're able to deduce who it was, good for you. I didn't give much of it. This will be our close, and Josh, I'll ask you to close in prayer.
So Shelly actually obviously thought about this song, but it's as you listen to the words, it's kind of a prayer, a personal prayer, so hopefully we sing it clear enough for you, and it's a prayer of Shelly and I's, and I just pray that Holy Spirit would touch you with it as well.
Start that again. Sick.
God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for your Son who came and shed his blood for our sin. God, it is no secret that you gave everything to come and rescue a people that hated you. And God, our hearts are moved by this. And we pray, Lord, as we've heard this message of godly focus, we pray, O God, that you would search us and know us, try our hearts, and see if there is any wicked way in us, and lead us into the way everlasting. God, touch each of us this week, I pray, God, that you would reveal to us in a personal way what needs to get out of the way to be more focused on you. God, we know that even though there's so many things that grab for our attention, there is nothing as important as loving you and loving our neighbor. So God, we thank you for the message preached today. We thank you for this body of believers. And we pray that as the entire body of Christ, that we would pursue you in a fresh way. In the name of Jesus, we pray these things.